all of the Imams, those who were sent down from God. May peace be upon you all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And I express my thanks to the Shaykh who spoke before me because of the poetry which we heard from him. It is my honor to make the opening speech of this great conference, which aims to announce Jerusalem al-Quds as the capital of Palestine and of the Arabs and of the Muslim world, based on the popular will. And because of the nature of the program, because there are a lot of speeches which will be made in this gathering, I will speak very briefly. And so I have written down what I want to say, and I will be committed to what I have written down so we don't take a lot of time. I will speak about Jerusalem al-Quds. I will speak about the current reality and the challenges which we are facing. I'll speak about the responsibilities and the alternatives, the horizon and the future. Actually, when it comes to the current reality, the issue of Jerusalem al-Quds from all its different angles is a unique issue in the world. There is nothing which is similar to the issue of Jerusalem al-Quds. It is a holy city on a holy land, holy territory. It is a blessed city, and what is around it is also blessed. And this is what all of the religions agree upon. And so it is present in the ideology and the culture of millions or billions of people, Muslims and Christians in the world, those who live in the five continents. Their eyes look to Al-Quds, and they also miss Al-Quds, Jerusalem Al-Quds. There is no city which is similar to Jerusalem Al-Quds. And actually, in addition to its sanctity, it also includes a lot of sanctities of Muslims and Christians, from the Aqsa Mosque to the Holy Church and other holy sites. And on the other hand, it is a city which is subject to occupation. Occupation by those who have nothing to do with all of these billions of people, and they are not represented by these billions of people in any way whatsoever. And the Jerusalem al-Quds is still subject to occupation, is still under occupation, and has been so for tens of years. And Jerusalem al-Quds has been announced the permanent capital of a terrorist settlement, fabricated entity, which is against this ummah and against this whole region, which is Israel. And there are efforts being pursued to announce Jerusalem al-Quds as a permanent capital of the so-called Jewish people of the world. These efforts are still ongoing. And there is a project or a legal proposal being made in the Knesset of the enemy. And throughout history, Jerusalem al-Quds was a very important part of the conflict in the region. It was also, during the last century, a part of this conflict, and it will remain part of this conflict in the future. And for the sake of controlling Jerusalem al-Quds, this region was divided in the Sykes-Picot Agreement. And in order to further strengthen the control, there were always projects being planned for new plots. For example, the last plot was the new Middle East, which was overthrown by the resistance movements and the resistance countries in the region. And we will continue to confront the plans, the continuous plots, which aim to destroy the Palestinian cause, and particularly Jerusalem al-Quds. And based upon this, the future of the region will be drawn. Jerusalem al-Quds will draw the future of the region, meaning, tell me where will Jerusalem al-Quds be, I will tell you then where the region will be. And today, Jerusalem al-Quds is being subject to a project of Judaization, an organized project of Judaization. It is also, all the holy sites and sanctities of Muslims and Christians are being subject to insults and desecration on one hand, and to the danger of sabotage and destruction on the other hand. And the people, the original inhabitants and historic inhabitants of Jerusalem al-Quds are being subject to a project of displacement. And hence the city will become empty of its Muslim and Christian inhabitants and from its sanctities, from the sanctities of Muslims and Christians as well. It will become a city of one color, a color which was well known. And so hence we, when it comes to Jerusalem, Al-Quds, we are confronting a reality, a unique reality. And we are facing a real challenge which is related to the identity, the future and destiny and fate of this holy city. Also, when it comes to the responsibility and the alternatives, first of all, I believe that every Palestinian and every Arab and every Muslim and every Christian takes responsibility. Every person takes responsibility. National responsibility. Religious responsibility towards this city and towards its future and towards its identity and its fate. Second of all, I would like to stress on the responsibility, the religious responsibility, or according to what we hear today, the responsibility of the Sharia. We, my dear colleagues, we believe in Judgment Day. We believe in the last day, and we believe in two types of accountability in the aftermath, holding people accountable, individuals, and on the other hand, holding groups accountable. And we will all be held accountable and will be asked questions as individuals and as an ummah and as a people. What did we do for Al-Quds? What did we do for Palestine? And what did we do in confronting this challenge? The generations which lived throughout the Zionist entity, the presence of a Zionist entity, and especially the occupation of Al-Quds, they take responsibility. All of his generations who have lived throughout this period take responsibility at different levels, and they will be asked and held accountable about when it comes to the loss of Al-Quds. Now, in this world, nobody will be held accountable. However, as time passes, as time does not make the truth false or false truth, as time passes, this doesn't mean that responsibility has been taken away. This doesn't mean we won't be held accountable on the Day of Judgment. People forget, people ignore. However, when we are in the hands of God and the hands of Allah, nothing is forgotten. We are from the generation, most of us are from the generation who was after 1967, who became people responsible after 1967, after Al-Quds was lost. And so we are not partners in taking responsibility of the loss of Al-Quds and the occupation of Al-Quds. However, we certainly do take responsibility towards the continued occupation of Al-Quds until today. And we will be asked, and every one of us, every group, every organization, every movement, every party, every wave, every organization, every tribe, every people, we all will be asked, we must prepare our answer on the Day of Judgment. What did we do? What have we accomplished for the sake of liberating Al-Quds and bring it back? Brothers and sisters, the duty and responsibility impose on this ummah a central goal, a big central goal. And we must strive to achieve this goal, which is to liberate Al-Quds from the occupation and to work seriously to achieve this. And until this goal is accomplished, there are other challenges which we must confront on a daily basis in all means possible. I mean, defending our sanctities, the Islamic and Christian sanctities in Al-Quds, and also preserving the inhabitants and preventing them from being displaced from Al-Quds, and also confronting the Judaization of Al-Quds. And this is something which we can do by, first of all, programs, clear agendas or programs. We don't need programs which many conferences have spoken about. We have the Al-Quds organization, and many organizations or conferences were held in Tehran and elsewhere. And I believe on the level of the programs, we don't need anything. The programs are there, the agendas are there. What we need in confronting the Judaization and defending the sanctities and preserving the identity of Al-Quds and its inhabitants, what we need is to work and to be serious. And we must give Al-Quds the appropriate priority. When it comes to the choices which we have, it is clear that the choice of negotiating, the choice of negotiations in order to retrieve Al-Quds is not realistic. Because regardless of the stance in principle towards negotiations, and regardless of the stance towards a settlement, and if we say that negotiations with the enemy could lead to a solution for part of the Palestinian territories, occupied Palestinian territories, or part or some of the Palestinian refugees or other issues, if we assume that there will be solutions, it is clear, however, that Al-Quds has no place in this context, because the Israelis all agree that they hold on to Al-Quds as a capital, a unified capital of the Israeli state. There's no room for negotiations because the Israelis don't accept negotiating, nor on East Jerusalem or Al-Aqsa Mosque or anything. They don't agree to negotiating on the issue of Al-Quds. In addition to all of this, the American and Western support, complete support for Israel, and their support for Israel's security and its military edge, which was considered by President Obama a few days ago as a sacred duty. Obama raised this commitment from a strategic commitment or political commitment or humanitarian commitment, according to their terms, to a sacred commitment, which that is non-negotiable. In between brackets, we didn't hear anyone, any of the allies of the Americans, any of those who depend on the Americans in the Islamic and Arab world, we didn't hear any comments from them towards what Obama said about his sacred commitment to Israel. And so this reality, which leaves no room for doubt, means that the Palestinians and the Ummah in general have only one choice, which is resistance and armed jihad. When it comes to the horizon and the future, we believe that the big transformations and the changes in the region and the resistance movements actually did have a big role to play in these changes. They, of course, played a big role in bringing about these changes. And these changes, which are happening now in the world on more than one level, make us feel that we are closer to achieving the goal of liberating Al-Quds closer than any time before. For example, what are the changes which we are speaking about? The perseverance of the Palestinian people over the past few decades, despite all what the Palestinians were subject to, the wars, the dangers, the genocide, the displacement, etc., etc. And the Palestinians' refusal to give up and to make a settlement, their refusal to give in to the Israeli conditions, the international incapability, even the Arab official incapability from destroying the issue or the cause of Al-Quds. And so hence this cause remains alive and present in the minds and in the equations and on the fields as well, on the battlefields. And so hence we heard the announcement made by Imam Khomeini, may peace be upon him, when he said that the last Friday of every month of Ramadan is an international day of Al-Quds. And this is one way of keeping this cause alive. The overthrowing of the regime of the Shah and the establishment of the Islamic regime in Iran, which is completely supportive of this Palestinian and Arab and Islamic right. And so here we must stand in admiration of this Islamic Republic and its people and its leaders, who announce very clearly, without any doubt, that this Israel is illegal, illegitimate, and it must be wiped off the map. Although Iran is a state which has its interests, which has its relations, it's part of the international community, however, Even when it comes to the vision and the stance, Iran does not resort to tactics. It expresses its strategy and its depth in a clear way. The victories and the achievements of the resistance in Lebanon and Palestine, and last of all, most recently in Iraq, and the big development and change which we saw in Egypt, which was considered by the Zionists as an earthquake which threatens their existence, the big change which we saw in Iraq. And if Iraq can retrieve itself very quickly, Iraq can also play a very central role in this conflict. And we pin our hopes on this. We pin our hopes on Iraq playing such a role, on the Iraqi factions, on the Iraqi resistance, and on the Iraqi people. The weakness of the United States of America and the Western states in general, on more than one level, the transformations which we are witnessing in the Zionist entity, the cultural transformations, the psychological changes, the political changes, and the perseverance of the resistance axis from Iran to Syria, to the resistance movements in confronting all of the challenges, the failure of reaching a settlement, and the Ummah accepting the choice of resistance, and the Ummah being convinced in the efficiency of resistance more than any time before, and the readiness of the Ummah to go forward on this road as the last few years have proven. All of these factors are strategic factors, very big factors, which put us on this path and put us on the path to achieving this goal. And this makes us believe that liberating Al-Quds is a realistic goal based on the strategic factors and regional factors. And so, my brothers and sisters, this Ummah, it is the fate of this Ummah to witness what it witnessed previously. The same laws, the same situation which we saw previously in the previous centuries. We have the same situation now. When the Israelis refused to answer to what the Prophet Moses called for, and when they refused Moses' call to enter into the sacred territories, and when they told Moses, go away, you and your God, and fight because we will stay here, they were humiliated at that time, the Israelis. And God made his judgment against them in the desert. And when the Israelis did not react to the Palestinians before, or when the people of the Ummah didn't react to the Palestinian call before, and when they were incapable of protecting Al-Quds and the sacred territories, and when this sacred city was lost, this Ummah was struck. And they were humiliated, just like the Israelis were humiliated at the time of Moses. God also made his judgment against the Ummah. The Ummah was in a state of loss for 40 years. My dear brothers and sisters, the 40 years have passed. The 40 years have passed. And now, after all of the humiliations, all of the challenges, after all of these big changes and developments, we have a new generation, a generation which believes that jihad is a gateway to heaven. This gate has been open for those who are loyal to God. This is the shield of God. This is the way we work. And the path of resistance is the path of dignity and honor and liberation and victory. We have exited this period of humiliation, and the opening signs were the liberation, was for example the liberation of South Lebanon in 2000 and the liberation of Gaza after that. And to stress on this issue, what proves that we have exited this humiliating period is that the resistance achieved victory in 2006 in Lebanon and in Gaza in 2008. All of these factors, all of the ideological factors, all of the realistic and political factors, and all of the moral factors, all factors stress and underscore, in light of what we have witnessed before in history, this all stresses that we have entered the period of victories and we have exited the period of defeat. Before Hussein, Imam Hussein, may peace be upon him, he wrote with his blood, he said that who walks on our path achieves martyrdom, and who abandons our path will not achieve anything. And today, the resistance fighters in this period of time, in this era, they tell all the people of the Ummah, on our path of resistance in Lebanon and in Palestine and in the region. Those who walk on our path create victory and are victorious, and those who abandon our path will not achieve anything. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.